listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham, and back again is my friend from the East Coast, author of Man vs. Child, Mr. Doug Moe. Welcome back to the show, Doug Moe.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We were just chatting before we hit record because you were reminding me that you have a daughter who is 12 years old, and I like that this came up organically in our pre-show chat because I am experiencing something similar to what you were describing in my 10-year-old son. And what Doug was saying is, I said, how old is your daughter? He said 12. And he kind of went, like at what I described as an ominous laugh. And you started to say that it's not necessarily because it's a daughter, in your opinion, even though you only have a daughter, but it's more to do with the 12-year-old aspect, right? Can you elaborate on that for me?
Yeah, I was just saying, I think sometimes people, and I don't like this, I think it's gross when people say stuff like, oh, you're 12, oh, a teenage daughter. Like, what? Like, I don't know. That does not, like, that's what it is what it is. But that is not why I was chuckling. I was chuckling because I just think that tweens, middle school children, 10 may qualify as well. They're challenging. They're just challenging. It's a weird, it's an age where they're kind of, they're people and they have, I don't know. They've got different problems than little kids.
Here's what I'm seeing. And riddle me this if this jives with what you're experiencing. Like, for instance, yesterday, my wife is very close to like making video games a Saturday, Sunday thing only in our house. We're wrestling with video games are the new dessert, if that makes sense. Like what you're describing when they were younger kids, everything was a negotiation of how many bites of this broccoli or chicken do I have in order for me to get a cookie, right? And my wife, and I agreed with this. My wife was of the mindset that she didn't want to necessarily restrict sweets to the point where they would become obsessive because she wanted them to be like a horn of plenty of diabetes because she thought that that would deter them from wanting them so much, you know, much like making your child smoke a full pack of cigarettes when you catch them smoking kind of a thing.
Right.
And so that did not work, obviously. So we opted for a Friday, Saturday model. And then now the video games are the new thing. And so anyway, she was kind of saying, you know, he was arguing that his little brother is going to get to play for longer. And she was arguing back with him. And he kind of let out a like, no, that's not what I. And I was like, I don't know. You seem to be a much more, I don't know, like just better person all around, Doug, is the way I'm going to describe you. I'm kind of old school in that sense. I'm like, you don't grunt at your mother. And I do a lot of like 1950s dad of like, you don't pull that crap with me. He never grunts at me. He grunts at her because she's the nice one. Right. And it's just, this is what I explained to him, Doug. I said, listen, I get that you might be feeling a little bit frustrated with your parents. I said, but I am going to warn you that you have some antenna up to kind of look around every once in a while and kind of take an inventory of how good you have it exactly before you start to get disgruntled with your parents. I said, because you're starting to exhibit behavior that is not supposed to begin for another 3 years. This is exactly what I said to him. And I said, and what that says to me and my parental spidey sense is that if I allow you to get this bad this early, that it's just going to get uglier when you turn 13. So consider this a warning shot over the bow, my offspring.
I have some bad news for you.
Oh, no.
I don't think that 13 is the right age to experience that. I mean, I think it's not as though he'll turn 13 and then you'll be like, you know what? This behavior is fine.
Well, what about
it
my
rolls out slowly. They're you know what I mean? Like it's a rollout.
Yeah.
And someone was asking me, they were like, oh, do you get like eye rolls? You know, like does she roll her eyes at you? Because I know what you mean. Like the grunt, like, I mean, that's a grunt that I recognize because I make that grunt. Like, it's like, oh God, you know, just yeah. I cannot believe this. By the way, if you hear like sirens,
we
go
do.
By, I'm in no danger. Don't worry.
Okay, it's good. Just, all right.
This is. I live in Brooklyn, New York, and you know, so there's always someone, something going on. You know, that's why you love it here. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you love the sirens.
It's exciting.
Sirens are part of the charm.
Do they conveniently turn them on or off at night? Because I feel like if you're a part of a city that never sleeps, right, the decency should just be like, hey, guys, we're just not going to run the sirens because there's always sirens going on in New York. Is that an unfair? Yeah,
that is not unfair. You would come to my neighborhood in Brooklyn and it's a very sleepy neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? I'm not in the East Village. There's not people partying all the time. It is a quiet residential neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I just happen to live near a couple streets that have a lot of they're kind of a throughway for vehicles and such. So the ambulances, they go by me a lot. And then, this will probably be unpopular. People will say, Doug, you're being unreasonable. But I'm not quite sure that sirens need to be as loud as they are, nor do they need to be on at every instant that they're on. If I had a car with a siren, uh-huh. I'm pretty sure I would just hit the gas and put the siren on. Right?
Just every time.
Every time.
Yeah.
So I'm somewhat skeptical that there's enough traffic to warrant this, like, everyone out of the way thing that happens all the time.
Well,
but yeah, at night a little bit less, but, you know, mostly because people are sleeping, not being injured, I think.
Well, New York is the second most popular city on our demographic of downloads. And I would imagine that everybody outside of New York, I feel like there's just always cars in the street. Like there's, you know what I mean? There's never a time where a street is vacant in New York that they're just parked there. Like all of the streets are parking lots. And so therefore I ask, how is it that an emergency vehicle navigates where there's nowhere for them to pull over to the side?
You'd be surprised.
Okay.
If you're on a street where there's a lot of traffic, I mean, it takes a little while, but you do sort of question when you see an ambulance and it's like gridlocked traffic, how they'll get through. But people, they kind of like pull over in fits and starts, and it's like a zipper around.
Okay.
It's odd. Look, I don't know. That's not on my bio. I'm an amateur traffic, consultants.
Well, listen, by the standards of other traffic consultants that we've had on this show, you are an expert. So don't undercut yourself.
That's good.
We're coming to you now for all of our traffic needs on the Dad Podcast
Show. Maybe I'll get one of those helicopter noises in the background. I can give you like, traffic on the nines or something.
I don't understand why you're assuming maybe is an option and then I'm not just going to send it to you or drop in an effect. I have post-production capabilities here. But anyway, now that we know you're safe. That's what we do. You've given that displeased grunt.
And someone asked me if my daughter does
rolls her eyes.
Rolls.
Yeah.
And I was like, I actually don't think she does do eye rolls. But then the other day, I realized she doesn't do eye rolls. She does kind of like her eyes like sink. You know what I mean? Like they just go like
a shark.
She kind of like closes her eyes for a moment. Like,
oh yeah,
I cannot believe this is happening.
Which is eye roll very teenager, right? Closed eyes, slow blink is what I'll call it. Slow blink is more parental in nature, I feel. Right?
Yeah.
When you do a slow blink, you're trying to escape to a happy place. When you're rolling your eyes, that's nothing short of an attack. Right? But it's just you're taking a step away. I think it shows maturity. But I've never been on the other side of a slow blink as a parent.
You'll get there. Don't worry. It's all coming. Like it's not. and here's the thing I've come to understand. So it's very annoying behavior, right? When you get like any kind of talk back, you get kind of, an eye roll, you get a deep sigh or, close your eyes. I want to go to my happy place. I've been reading a book that's helped me through this. This is girl specific, this book, but it would be helpful probably for boys too, which it's called Untangled.
Oh.
Okay. And basically,
is this a parenting book?
It's a parenting book, a straight up advice parenting book.
Oh.
Not a make fun of your kid type book, which I would prefer usually. this is one of those. This is a book to like make sure you are trying to be get you through, you know what I'm saying? So this is a book and it's basically saying, the kids transition to adulthood. Okay, if you think about that, you have a child, and then at the end of teenage years, you don't really have an adult, but they're on their, you know, they're on their way to being an adult, right?
Right.
So that transition, for girls anyway, there's sort of several different threads that they're working through, and it's probably the same for boys, but this one's specific to girls. And so one of the things I've come to realize is that eye rolling, the deep sigh, the talk back, that's them, sadly, separating from childhood and establishing that they have opinions and that you might be a big idiot and they don't share your opinion.
Yeah, and see, that's so the thing. Annoying, why does it have to come with you being an idiot, right? Like, why is that got to be part of it?
Well, because if they think you still know what you're talking about by the time that they're supposed to be an adult, I mean, you probably know what you're talking about certain things, but they have to form their own, not admittedly ill-informed opinions, but their own opinions about things.
This is a good point you're making. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So some of this behavior that's really annoying likely won't stop and at least has a purpose. That's nice.
I like your silver lining perspective. I like also that you can't complete your mantra without laughing at yourself.
I mean, it was a great look. The book was not "How Do You Get Your Daughter to Stop Rolling Her Eyes,"
which, by the way, maybe is a great working title for your next book.
You know what? By the way, I'm literally getting a pet.
Because I'm telling you, this is right up your alley, Doug Moe. This is. And you can't tell me that somebody isn't perusing parenting books on Amazon, because I don't feel like anybody goes to a bookstore anymore, but they're not perusing those books. And then they go, "How to get your daughter to stop rolling her eyes." And I'm like, click one by click right there. That is a sold title just by that alone.
You know, here's the problem. I'm going to try to write that book. Uh-huh. And it's going to be like this. I'm going to go in all this depth and this other stuff. And what I ought to do is just like, you know, by tomorrow, like bang out some like 20 page Kindle, you know, somewhere there that sad, hapless parents will just download quickly before they know what hit them.
Right.
And by the time they've posted a review about how disappointed they are that I had no solutions.
Yeah.
You know, the money is in my bank account.
Yeah. And, it's a cash and move. It's a hit.
Cash and move. Yeah. And think of a bunch of questions like that. You know, like, how do I get my kid to clean up his room? Like, again, at $1, I'm going to give you the solution. You download it. You get your Kindle fired up. There's no solution there. How do I get my money back? Too late. It's in Doug's bank account.
See, this is how you understand the economics of the publishing world already. Because, listen, if you're doing a bit, I don't think you're too far off on the reality, because I had another author on here who wrote a book called The Survival Guide to Fatherhood. And then he wrote that because he realized that by writing a book called The Survival Guide to Marriage, it was like an audience that kept building itself. Like, there was always a new audience, and it's not like if you're Dean Koontz and you have to write a new fiction, you know, that everybody's going to love and has to be on the same par. Like, you just buy a quick instruction manual and there's always people getting married and always people having children. So.
Yeah, though, in fairness, I think, you know, I know a couple people that are like into like a Dean Koontz or Robert Ludlum or whatever, and sometimes they can't remember which of his books they've read. You know what I mean? They have to keep a list.
Oh, and they go back.
So, so sometimes they by accident are like, you know what? I've read this. You get to the end. That guy had a submarine. I remember this.
I'm envious of those people's lives, by the way, Doug. I don't. Maybe I overgrandize the involvement of parenting or something. But I just, the idea of being able to read a book and forgot that I wrote it and read it again, and then to delightfully, right? Like, go, "Oh, I read this," and not go, "Son of a bitch, I just wasted 3 damn days. I already read this crap." But maybe it's because, and I don't know if I'm that angry because I'm not a reader, like it always feels like homework to me, or if it's because I have so precious, such little time to myself that the last thing I want to do is reread a Dean Koontz book. And I like Dean Koontz. But anyway.
So, well, listen, Justin, I'm going to give you a little bit of, you know, you're going to be happy about this. This is some more good news.
Oh, ready? Here comes more Doug Moe silver lining. I'm going to have to make a segment.
as your kid, becomes a teenager, okay? Uh-huh. They also want to spend less time with you.
Oh boy, yeah.
So you're going to have that time to read again, because when you're like, hey, bud, I think let's go to the park or whatever, they'll be like, can we invite a friend?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm noticing that too. Thank you. And it's, yeah. I got to be honest, it's bothering me more than I thought it would. It's very, very weird in that it's not to where they want to go with their friends. Like, that's kind of been always the same thing. But, like, what was it the other day? I said, I go, oh, hey, you guys, we like to watch the Rams games. And one of my favorite things is when the whole family, my wife included, all sits down. We all got our Rams hats and T-shirts and we watch the game. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe TiVo has ruined this because, you know, my wife's work schedule or my schedule won't allow us to watch it just as it starts, right? So I always record it and then we start to watch it and everybody's like, eh, and they just kind of leave. And I'm just sitting there by myself watching the Rams game like, man, I wish I had that annoying little twerp here cuddling with me on the couch. Like, what's happening? I'm an emotional guy as it is. I'm going to be a wreck. I'm going to be experiencing empty nest syndrome when he gets his driver's license. And that is not the parent I thought I was going to be, Doug. It's not how I thought it was going to go down.
I have a vision of you in a few years. It's you. You're watching the Rams game. You're all decked out in your Rams stuff. And on the couch next to you, there's 5 or 6 pillows and they've all got hats on.
Yeah.
They've all got Rams things. You've named them all like you're in a, you know, what's that movie? I want to say Outcast. That's how it's been. Yeah. Outcast. That movie. Castaway.
Castaway. That's good. What's funny is that I had the movie until you said Outcast and I was like, oh no, what is the name of that Tom Hanks movie? Is it Outcast? I think I might go Last Man on Earth and have footballs, like just have footballs with faces on them.
Yeah,
that's another move I might do. So you're saying from everything, even though Doug Moe is officially now not only a traffic consultant for the Dad Podcast, but also a silver lining guy, sure. You're saying that there is no horizon other than the fact that what I'm about to experience and am experiencing in small doses is just the natural development of separation before they move out of the house. And I don't know. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. That's what it is. So am I, in your experience, I feel like it's natural for a parent to want to fix it, right? Like I want to say, no, listen, you got to shut this down, but you've already kind of pointed out that there's not a lot that's going to do, right? Like it's not going to help anybody.
Well, okay. Look, I'm really just quoting this one book, and I do.
Is this still Untangled?
It's this Untangled book, right?
Okay.
I do think, like, the book does say, like, okay, it's okay to not allow rudeness. You know what I mean? Like, you can try to nip some of that rudeness in the butt, like where it's like, you don't have to put up with like sassy tone and doors slamming and all that stuff, but some of it's likely to happen, you know, even if it's against your rules. And even if you wish it didn't happen, you know, kids are all different, but it's not surprising to anybody. You know what I mean? And it's not surprising if you were like, hey, I got to tell you this insane story. If you said to your friend and you're like, it's crazy. I was saying something to my kid the other day and then they were like, they rolled their eyes. And then your friend would be like, well, aren't they like a teenager basically, and you'd be like, yeah, they'd be like, well, that's not a crazy story. You see, like, it's all like, it feels bad because it feels personal.
Right. Cause in that moment, it's usually just you and your house.
Yeah. It is personal, but it's sadly, it's like evolutionary in origin.
Yeah. It's interesting that we do look at this in the moment, right? I think that we all, to a certain extent, can appreciate that there is a universality to this. But I think in the moment that these moments of dealing with teenage separation is what I'm going to call it, is a lot like how you feel it's socially acceptable to pick your nose when you're driving in the car. Like you feel like nobody can see you because you're in a box with glass windows all around it. And I may be sharing too much of my inability to practice 10 and 2 when I'm driving my car here in Los Angeles. But but I just...
York, for the New York listeners, that's the equivalent of clipping your toenails on the subway.
Oh, okay. So okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for making us bi-coastal. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to sit here and it's funny because I now, having talked to you about this, I'm going to move forward just basically understanding the fact that I'm going to be pounding my head against a wall for probably the next 10 years of my life. because I'm not going to move forward. I can't believe is a better way of putting it, that I'm going to find any comfort in the moment of dealing with my kids' perceived disrespect as just a stage of development, and that I'm going to be able to stay that grounded in those moments. Because I'm such an old school dad in the sense that, you know, I do a lot of, like, you know, I pay for this stuff, you know, that kind of thing. And it, so it just doesn't jive with how I roll. But you will be a Jiminy Cricket on my shoulder. I can see that happening already, where there's going to be like, it's just a part of their development, Justin. It's, you just got to get used to pick up Untangled and reread it as a resource.
I think that's the trick, is that it does feel personal, but it does. I don't know. It's helped. You know what? It has helped me a little bit. Like, it, some of the things I've been like, oh, that is really, you know, like any good book that you read, like there's things you take away from it. So, you know, one, I'll give you one more. I don't want to, like, I'm not here to plug somebody else's book yet.
That's a good point by you.
Right? But,
unfortunately, I have to be a jerk and cut us off there, because that concludes the free portion of this episode. If you would like to listen to the rest of this episode and all of the other full episodes of the Dad Podcast, all you have to do is go to thedadpodcast.com. That's thedadpodcast.com. Include that the. thedadpodcast.com. Right there on the homepage, there are links where you can become a paid premium subscriber and get all of the shows full length moving forward. If you have any issues with that, send me an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.